Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com.
Get you on the radio. Yeah, you gotta get on the radio. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. If you're listening to the podcast, this is hour number two. Thanks for tuning in. We've had a fun show today. If you missed hour number one, don't worry, it'll be up on the podcast pretty soon. And then if you miss any of this stuff, I'm talking videos, we're talking all this different stuff, you can always go over to the website Around the House Online and take a look and find everything there. Make sure you like our Facebook page, Around the House with Eric G. I want to get your calls today, 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. If you missed us and don't want to call in, you're shy, just send an email to ATH@KXL.com. We have had Julie holding on patiently from Portland. Welcome back to Around the House.
Yeah, my other question was, our house was built about 2005, and we have central heating and cooling. Mm-hmm. And the downstairs stays really cool, but upstairs, it gets really hot in the summertime. And we were wondering if maybe like a solar-powered attic fan might help with that.
Yeah, they can. I have the same situation in my house. And after I answer this, I want to have another conversation about your first question that maybe people missed. I wanted to talk about your flooring. So we're going to dive into that in a second. But here's what I did at my house. I actually, before I went that far, I actually have a Nest thermostat. My thermostat is down on the first floor, and I have that same issue. I actually went out and bought the little, they make a little remote. It's about $40 for it. And I put it upstairs in the bedroom. Where I have that same problem. We had 7 or 8 degrees difference between the two. Just with that, it really helped because it was turning the fan on from time to time to help equal the air out in the house. And it did a really good job this last year. I used it all summer long. It did a great job of getting those two areas a little more balanced. It went from being, 10 degrees difference to maybe on the 100 degrees days, maybe 3 or 4 degrees difference. So it made a big difference in comfort in my house without having to go to an attic fan. I'll be honest, if you're going to do an attic fan up there, that starts to get to be a pretty big project up there to do it right. It's good that you have a newer house, but you have to be a little bit careful with those because you have to calculate how much air is coming in, how much air is coming out with your venting, and then you really almost have to go through and seal things up a lot better because when you turn that fan on, it can actually pull the cool air from inside the house up through into the attic. And so that's one of those things you got to be a little bit careful with because it'll find any little tiny leak. And when it does, it's pulling air out. It might not be as efficient as you think it is, but keeping that space up there cool does help you. So those can be pretty big projects just because you might have to put some more venting in. You got to get power up there. I probably wouldn't do a solar one. I would probably just hardwire one in with a thermostat and let it do its thing and kind of that to me would be doing it right. I'm concerned about the solar ones not holding up long term for you.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Now, one thing I wanted to talk about with the hardwood floors, when you're out shopping for pre-finished hardwood floors, I like, you know, there's certain brands I like, certain brands I don't, but really pay attention to the manufacturer of who makes that floor. There have been a ton of issues out there with certain people out there selling hardwood floors that are coming out of Southeast Asia that have a ton of formaldehyde in them. And so do your research on the brand. Be very careful because I don't know if you saw on CBS News, for instance, they did a big expose on that and there were formaldehyde free flooring being sold in the U.S. and they went over there to China and saw the actual manufacturing and they were putting formaldehyde glues in it and stamping it formaldehyde free. So you got to be a little bit careful where you're getting that stuff from. So I would not just go to any discount flooring place for it. I would really get it from a good source that has the right testing So, you know, here in Portland, I would talk to places like Area Floors or Contract Furnishing Mart, any of those companies like that that are the main kind of wholesaler, retailer people out there. That's who I would work with and stay away from the discount places, because I want you to have a healthy floor in that house, and that's going to cause its own air problems if you put in something that's got high formaldehyde.
Do well with weight.
Yeah, those things will do great.
I mean, have a big safe and a pool table.
Oh, yeah, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Not a problem with that. So one of my favorite companies is the main company is Metropolitan Floors. I work with them a lot. They've got some great floorings, and you can look them up online, but they're a Northwest company here based out of Vancouver, BC. But I love their floors. They're really healthy as far as what they put in them, and they're durable, and they stand behind them. So that's not an advertisement, but that's just who I work with. That's who I've put in my home when I've done projects with, and I've really enjoyed it, and it's held up well.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, Julie, thanks for holding over, and thanks for listening to Around the House. We appreciate it. Opens up another line at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. All right, our subject for the hour. It's kind of a big one. So what happens when you've got a little one on the way? Or maybe your kids have a little one on the way. So what do you do to get ready for a baby in the house? You know, or a toddler. You know, it's an interesting subject, especially with the stuff that we know now. You know, some of the things with babies, it used to be not long ago that they recommended that all the bottles be sterilized and all those things. And now they're just saying, hey, use a good soap. All those things are changing, you know. But here's the thing when it comes down to it. Rule number one, got to get the house cleaned up. But more importantly, if you've got a house prior to 1978, the first thing I would do would be to go around and look for lead paint. Now, you can have an expert come in, and you can pay somebody like Handyman Bob to come around and test every surface, make sure that it's not there, you know, with his company. But really, you can go around, if you buy the test kits, you can go around and do it yourself. You can do that and see, and it'll tell you if you've got lead paint in your house. If so, that'd be the first thing I'd want to do, because that is where you start getting into kids teething, playing with moldings, anything around the house. I would deal with that first. Get all the toxic stuff out of there. Because I tell you what, if you've got lead paint in there and now you're going to figure out, okay, is it in the carpets? What's happening? Those are some of the big important things that I would start off with before I go putting clips or anything on doors. Get that dialed in. Make sure that environment is set up. Because the first thing you're going to do is give your house a safety exam. Make sure you've got the carbon monoxide detectors. Make sure the smoke detectors are working. Get the basics down first before we get into these details, because that's the most important part. It's keeping people safe and alive. Hey, let's run out here to Terry in Portland. Welcome to Around the House.
Hi.
Hi. What can I help you with today?
We just bought a brand new fifth wheel, and I was just wondering, the protective coating or the brand new smell in a new home or even the new fifth wheel, is that hazardous to your health? You're in a small area, and the smell is overwhelming.
You know, it's that new, it can be, but it could be a lot of things, and you could actually have that, you could actually test that and find out. They do make formaldehyde test kits to test that air that you can put in there and send it off to the lab, and it'll tell you, you know, you can get them online and send it off, and it'll tell you if you've got that issue in there. It could be a ton of stuff. It could be, you know, glues off gassing that aren't. It could be finishes that are finally curing out. You know, for instance, if I'll tell you this great example. If I go up to a cabinet manufacturer's place in Seattle and pick up some new parts and bring them down to Portland down here, for instance, if I was going to do something like that, those packages are going to be off-gassing the fumes from the chemicals from the top coat that's baked on, even though it's a baked-on finish. You're going to smell that for weeks afterwards. So when you get into a nice, tight, brand-new fifth wheel, you're going to have all those different smells in there. So could you have formaldehyde in there? Absolutely. Could it be 100% formaldehyde-free? Absolutely. And the only way to know is just to do a simple lab test to find out what is in that.
And where would you find something like that?
You could probably jump on Amazon and get it. You could probably jump down to your home centers and get it too, with their test kits and stuff in there as well. But just, you know, get a decent one out there, look at the ratings on them. But online, you can get them pretty easy, and it'll tell you pretty quickly what you got.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Terry. Thanks for listening to Around the House. All right. When we come back, we'll be taking all your calls. 503-417-9595. Just as soon as Around the House returns. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every Saturday afternoon. Numbers here in the studio is 503-417-9595. Easy one to remember, 503-417-9595. Just put that in your phone under Around the House, and then you can look it up every Saturday and call in with your home improvement questions. Western Construction Systems, is a cracked or crumbling foundation killing your real estate deal? For a free inspection, contact Western Construction Systems. The integrity of your foundation is their specialty. Guaranteed. CCB number 94222. Thanks, Western, for sponsoring Around the House with Eric G. They keep this show going every single week. All right, well, let's run out here to Dave in Portland. Welcome to Around the House.
Hey, I have an answer for the lady with the smells in the motorhome.
Okay.
Just get the Kingsford charcoal bag, that the kind that doesn't have lighter fluid already in it.
Okay.
Set it. You know, just lay it on a table or lay it someplace, split it down the middle, open it up a little bit, and let it absorb all of those smells. And if it's a longer motorhome or, you know, a car that's sent you bought a car that had smoker before.
Yep.
You know, like in a longer motorhome, you could just put one in the front and one in the rear.
Gotcha.
And let it, you know, over a couple of weeks, that'll take all the smell out of it.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, that's the one thing with RVs, and there's been a problem with that in the past with especially newer ones. Something over the last 10 years, there have been a lot of different stories out there with formaldehyde off-gassing
right.
for materials. So
that's
if you're trying
right.
to get the smells, that's going to help you out for sure.
Yeah, I'm a chemical engineer.
Right on, man. Yeah, that charcoal will do a lot for you.
Yeah, it'll do a lot for you. You can use it in your house when you have, like, if you do new floors. Wood floors, you know, with all that smelly stuff in it.
Yep.
You could use that in your house also.
Oh, yeah. When you've had the flooring guy out there refinishing your hardwoods, that'll make a huge difference.
Yeah, it will.
All right, Dave. Thanks for listening Around the House, man, and thanks for calling in. Anytime you got stuff like that, it's always appreciated. I love the tips.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks, man. All right, that's a great call right there. Yeah, that charcoal will do a lot for you. You know, you think about the charcoal filters you see out there. It's the same theory. So that's a good one right there. All right. Well, yeah, that's the thing with RVs like that. I mean, I think it was ABC News did a story here, you know, 7 or 8 years ago that they did a story about chemicals in RVs like that. And I know that things are getting better out there, but you just got to be careful with materials because like they had on that CBS News story on 60 Minutes, you got to be really careful with that stuff of what's coming in. And just because the package says that it's not doesn't mean that it's not. I mean, I was running... Long time ago, I was helping some people run a business that sold online auto parts, and you could order parts from overseas, and they'd ask you, do you want the DOT approved on stamp on it or not? It wasn't DOT approved, but they'd sure put the stamp on for you. So those are things you just got to be careful with out there. Hey, let's run out here to Steven Tigard. Welcome to Around the House.
Well, hi, this is Steve. How are you?
Good, man. What can I help you with today?
Okay, so I got a manufactured home built in 76.
Okay.
Electrical system, we just bought it a year ago.
Okay.
On one of the panels, the electrical circuit breaker had to be replaced. So that was pretty easy to
sure.
shut off the whole home power. Now I've got other things failing. The exterior power's failing. I know I need to also upgrade with GFI so you don't get electrocuted in the bathroom or kitchen.
Sure.
So, do-it-yourselfer here, basic skills, not a great electrician. What can you recommend to me?
You know, something like that with an older mobile home like that, I would almost bring an electrician in, even if it was me, and I do a lot of my own electrical. You're starting to get to the point of paying somebody to come out and really take a look at it and give you a checkup, have somebody like Rose City Electric come in, and I'm not just saying that, because if you've got a panel failing or something like that, and you've got something that's taking things out, that's something you really got to be careful with, and I don't want you to have a fire hazard in that. So,
yeah, that's what I'm concerned about. It was built in 76, I believe. So,
dude, you could be fine, but I'd sure rather have a professional come in and eyeball and look for the problems. I don't want you to miss something.
Good point. Last, I have one more question if you want to take it. Attic insulation. I haven't gotten up there. I just recoated the roof with a white snow coat.
Okay.
And that immediately helped on the air conditioning over the summer. But inside there, what do they typically have? I was a little concerned about getting up there with possible asbestos or what I'd need to do to increase the insulation.
Yeah, I mean, depending on how much space you have up there, you could get some more attic insulation up there by using fiberglass. Sometimes they use fiberglass. Sometimes they blew stuff in. It's just depending on what manufacturer it was. What you have to be careful with, the only asbestos you're going to run into if they have that vermiculite stuff, but that wasn't really used in the 70s. So you probably have a blown-in insulation or you have a fiberglass bat up there, one of the two. But if you can get up in there and you have access to it and you can put in more insulation, just don't block any of the vents that are up there. You can do yourself a bunch of favors on your electrical bills with that.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Great.
All right, Steve. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening around the house. We appreciate it. Another great caller right there. We've got a ton of callers this hour that have been great stuff. And anytime you can put in insulation like that, and it doesn't matter if you got a mobile home or a newer house or an older house, if you can do it, you got to make sure, though, you're not blocking up any of that airflow up there. Because if you've got ridge vents and things like that, make sure you keep that stuff clear so you can still move that air. Because if you're just trapping it inside, that's not going to help you if it's not getting in and out, especially when you're coming into wintertime right now, where you could create ice dam problems or anything else like that. So airflow is key, just like we were talking about earlier. Well, one of the things we're going to keep talking about here in the show is we're going to talk about things you can do around your house to get ready for little kiddos. One of them I'm going to say before we go out to break here, clean the entire house. Simple. Keep it clean. Now, one of the other tips that I want to talk about here, too, think about laundry. With laundry, you're going to be fighting this moving forward because you're going to create more laundry than you know. And I can say that as a parent. If you keep that laundry room dialed in and stay on top of that laundry, it's going to help you out and keep things organized like that because chaos is coming. We'll talk about more of that when we come back. 503-417-9595. Just as soon as Around the House returns. And the Bandit. Sorry, I grew up as a kid in the Smokey and the Bandit days. That was my childhood. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. A little bit sad on that one right there. Big Burt Reynolds fan. Loved his movies. Loved that little bit of snark that was involved with all of his stuff. It's kind of fun to me. All right, guys, we've been talking about having a kid coming in your house and kind of what are the top things you need to take care of? I want to get your calls today, though, at 503-417-9595, because we're going to run out of time here. This is how this show goes, because, that's what we do around here. This is the fastest 2 hours of the day. Also want to let you know that whether it's foundation repair, earthquake retrofitting, basement waterproofing, or drainage systems, westernconstructionsystems.com is your answer. The integrity of your foundation is their specialty. Guaranteed. And that's CCB number 94222. Love our guys at Western. This is the time of year where everybody's dealing with, water in the basement. Might be, the downspouts causing a problem, and they're out solving problems for them. Thanks for being a sponsor to the show, guys. All right. Let's talk about one of the biggest things that people forget to deal with when they're getting ready for a baby coming. Not preparing physically and mentally for company coming over. You got to think about that as well. Maybe you need to get that other spare bedroom knocked out. You're going to have everybody, family, friends, everybody coming over to hang out around your house. So if you don't want them there, make sure you don't have that spare bedroom set up. More importantly, if you don't want them to hang around a long time, don't make it too comfortable. Just saying, that bed's not dialed in top. They might only want to stay a night or two. So one good thing to keep that under control. Don't make it too comfy if you don't want to be in there. You don't need to have permanent house guests. And I can say that that's a life lesson that I learned, especially, when you've got in-laws coming over, by the way, you know what the difference between in-laws and outlaws are? Outlaws are wanted. Just saying. All right, let's run out to Jeff in Salem. Welcome to Around the House.
How you doing?
Good, man. What can I help you with today?
What is the proper height to set your flange for your toilet to?
So are you replumbing it, or are you trying to do a repair on that flange? What do you have going on?
Trying to do a repair. We noticed the linoleum coming up in the bathroom, so pull the toilet, and it's been leaking. Well, I guess our house is only 3 years old, so for 3 years.
Okay.
And I'm in a fight with the contractor right now, because everything I understand is that you want that flange approximately a quarter inch or so above your finished floor. And right now it is just barely above the subfloor, not counting the, I think they got MDF down, which is not good for the bathroom. But
Yeah, with the MDF around there, that could be a problem right there. I'm not a big fan of having anything like that that's not going to hold up there. But usually that toilet flange goes over the subfloor and kind of hangs in there. And that's where I like to have that in there, because what happens is if you've got it over the finished floor, that means your plumbing was done after the finished floor was put in. And I want that thing in there solid, because when that thing bolts down, that's the whole strength of holding that toilet down. So it needs to be attached into that subfloor.
Okay, so it can be below, because right now with the add half inch MDF on there, so it was, a half inch or so below the MDF, and then you got your linoleum on top of that. I didn't think you'd ever get a good feel with your wax ring if it was down that low.
You got a lot of room in that wax ring. If not, you can actually put an extension on it. But now, what kind of, are you putting vinyl floor down, or what you got in there?
I don't know. I was talking to the contractor because, like I said, the builder is only 3 years old. So there's no reason for the toilet to be leaking.
Sure.
And, we got some mold on the floor directly around the toilet plant now. And he's saying, well, it's kind of your deal. It's not our fault. We installed it correctly. Something's going haywire if it wasn't sealed up,
Yeah, you could have had a wax ring or something failing there. Yeah. But my concern, though, is if you've got a particle board subfloor in there, that's really designed for putting vinyl down on top of that. If you're going to put...
There's the OSB sheeting on top of the joist,
yep,
correct? And
yep.
Then above they had this MDF stapled down to that subfloor, and then the linoleum was on top of the MDF.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's proper right there. And maybe it's just particle board as well. But if you're going to put tile down, now this is where I'm going with that. Now you're going to put a hardy backer or something down on top of that.
Yeah.
And then you're going to put tile on top of that. Now you're starting to get where that flange is getting a little bit away from that toilet. We're going to have to use an extra ring or something like that in there. You might be getting too far away depending on what floor you're using.
Okay, perfect. I just, like I said, it's only been 3 years and it's been leaking. So fighting with the contractor trying to figure out if he's going to fix it or if it's all on me.
Yeah.
Because I don't know why it would be leaking, but...
Yeah, sometimes it's funny with toilets like that, especially in a new construction, stuff like that. It's kind of strange how it happens. Sometimes just those toilets don't get set in there right, or even the wax ring gets a little off center when it goes in there, and now you got a leaking problem, and doesn't take much to make a mess out of MDF or particle board when it gets a little moisture on it.
Well, that's what I was thinking, was MDF, that once it started leaking, maybe it's just barely leaking, occasionally. But once it got saturated, it probably swelled up, and then we got problems.
Oh, yeah, now you got a mess. It doesn't take much to be hanging down under there. And I'll be honest, when I put the toilet down, and when you've got an MDF floor like that, I don't like to actually caulk around the outside of the toilet and seal it in. If I have a leak, I'd rather see it come out on the floor.
Now, can you run your vinyl or what have you on top of? Can you put the Wonder Board down or your Hardy Back Board? Do you have to use MDF for linoleum?
Yeah, you want to. You want something smooth like that. So you wouldn't want to use plywood, because you'll see the grain almost come through that. So that's why you want to use that particle board for, if you're putting just vinyl floor down. That's a good material for that.
Okay. Thanks very much.
All right. Hey, thanks, Jeff. Thanks for calling into Around the House. I appreciate it. Another great call out there. And you just got to plan ahead a little bit with this stuff. That wax ring gives you that flexibility. But the problem is that if you get too far away from it, you're going to have a heck of a problem, because now you're going to have a leak again. You're going to be back replacing it as well. So something to be careful with. All right, let's dive into a few more of these things on our list here. I tell you what, take care of your danger zones around the house. And I mean danger zones. Take a look at your laundry room, your bathrooms, and your kitchens. That's where you're going to have chemicals. That's where you're going to have things that are hot. You just got to be careful with that there. I've told people that had a hard time understanding what to do with kids, sit down on the floor, get in their environment, sit down in your living room, take a look. Is that entertainment center attached to the wall? Are the dressers attached to the wall? All of these things are a big deal, because when there's a toddler around and there's two drawers open and that toddler decides it wants whatever's on top of that dresser, it is super easy to pull that thing over. So I would go get the attachment kits. And again, I've done a Morgue Day Oregon segment on this if you want a how-to video on it. That's up on Around the House online. But that is a key right there. That's another one of those safety things. Have you attached those to the wall? And then the last thing I'm going to say before we go out to break here is I want to see window locks on every single one of those second story windows, because I want to see those things so kids aren't falling out of windows anymore. And you're going to hear me talk about it again a dozen more times this year, even though we're getting into wintertime. All right, we come back, last segment of the show, just as soon as Around the House returns. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement each Saturday. Jumping up into the last segment of the hour here into the show. If you missed it, don't worry. It's up on the SoundCloud, internet, anywhere you find it out there. I don't care if you're iTunes. Take a look out there as well. And then if you missed all these little things that we talked about, you can find all of it from videos to the podcast, everything else. Check out aroundthehouseonline.com, including my new little news page where I'm starting to write weekly stories up there about things that are pretty important. So if I see something that's not being addressed out there, I'm writing some news stories up there on home improvement and design topics as well. Hey, let's run out here to Benjamin in Portland. Welcome to Around the House.
Hello, Eric. Thanks for having me.
No problem, man. What can I help you with today?
A comment on the toddler and baby safety thing.
Yes, sir.
We did those little, you know, home baby safety kits, and that was the drawer latches, which are good, but the light socket covers. Those turned out to be about half-dollar size choking hazards, and we had a couple of scares with the first kid, and finally just gave up on that entirely and replaced all the sockets in the house with the child safety ones, and it really just eliminated two major hazards right out the gate. And it was, you know, we didn't do it all at once. It was kind of, you know, $5 a paycheck until it was done.
You know, Benjamin, that is a great topic because, yeah, those little covers that I grew up with as a kid, those things are serious chewing choking hazards from that, because they are great to teeth on, and now you got a problem. And the nice thing is if you replace the outlets like you're talking about, they're a little harder to get, you know, plugged into, but I tell you what, that's going to keep kids safe, and that's the important part.
Yep, nobody wants an electrocution. And the other thing was securing TVs. We got a lot of other friends with kids, and nobody's securing the TVs. And they're especially the tall, thin screens. They don't have the weight to hold them in place like the old CRTs do.
Yep.
Those things come over real easy. So,
and that's pretty easy to do.
We'll listen every week.
Hey, Benjamin, thanks for calling in. Those are some great tips, and thanks for tuning in to Around the House.
All right. Have a good day, Bob.
You too, man. Bye. Thanks. That's a good one right there, because TVs, any of those things like that are hazards. And maybe you don't sometimes even have to go to the expense of getting a bracket to put those down with. I have seen people use things like museum wax and things like that for holding things down to surfaces, which are great for earthquakes as well. But on something on these TVs, especially if you get into a big one, if it's not wall mounted already, if it's sitting there on the stand, take a little bit of time, fasten it down, and then you're good to go, because we got to keep those kids safe out there and keep you safe. And keep in mind, there's a double win with this as well whenever you're doing this. If there is an earthquake, guess what? You've created a lot less things that can fall over that could get you in trouble, especially when you've got your furniture attached to the wall, TVs are attached to the wall, you start to get things a little bit more dialed in. So the more you can do these things, you get a double win with it, which I like. Now, here's one thing that I would say as well, outside of this stuff, you know, the drawer locks and those kind of things. I only will suggest drawer locks on things that where you're going to keep chemicals and things like that. I wouldn't go through and do the whole house if you don't need to. I would just go through and do the storage areas where you're going to put things that are a little bit dangerous. Why fight those things for putting where the towels are and stuff like that? Who cares? So I would do with that. But now here's the thing that I would do out there that's kind of the most important. organization. Get that pantry dialed in. Make sure you got a space for all those different food things, because if you've got that dialed in or organized and a system, you're going to be a little bit better off with that. Because I tell you what, organization when I had kids was the toughest thing starting out. Make sure you got diapers and all the different things. Whatever your plan is, keep it going that way. And it's not that hard these days to keep it dialed in and organized, and then you're good to go. Now, here's the other thing, too. Think about your flooring surfaces out there. If you've got white carpet, you're going to have a problem. Kid's going to make a mess in that. That's going to be another one of those issues. So think about keeping those floors dialed in, keeping them clean, and making sure that you've got surfaces that are kid-friendly. Surfaces like that that are kid-friendly are going to keep, one, you're not going to be ruining flooring. Two, you're not going to be creating that big mess. So again, some of those just things you need to keep in mind when you got kids coming in the house. Well, coming up next week, we got some fun stuff ahead. We're going to talk about our fall maintenance checklist. It is that time of year again. We've kind of dove into a few little fall projects out there. We're going to dive into that fall project checklist. So this is a good one, because winter's around the corner, whether you like it or not. It's coming, and looking at the way things are going out here, I think it's going to happen quick. So let's talk for a second about our top 10 procrastinate home improvement projects. These are those things that we try to do every single time that maybe we don't get to. Just kind of like this segment here, we never really get to it. But tune in next week. I think we might be able to start on that one next week. We'll see how it goes. But you know something? That's all the time we got for this week. Our thanks to executive producer Dane Vodder for making the show sound great, Steve Moffat, who ran the Communications Center, and executive producer Dane Vodder for pinch hitting for Jeff this weekend. Thank you, sir. Most of all, though, we want to thank you for listening. I want you to join us next week from noon to two, where once again we talk about maintenance, repair and designing for remodeling, and renovation of your home. Until then, be sure you do what you love. Love what you do. This is the Radio Northwest Network. I'm Eric G., and you've been listening to Around the House.
Around the House with Eric G. is produced by Alpha Media USA in association with Design by Eric G. LLC. All rights reserved. Copyright 2018.
We have some exciting news about the Around the House podcast. Do you want to be an Around the House insider? Our premium membership gives you early access to the weekend podcast, exclusive access to our back catalog of shows, special email access to me, Eric G., with your own home improvement questions with a priority email address, plus exclusive new shows and extended content. Click down into the podcast show notes for the link to the Around the House Insider membership for less than the price of a beer at happy hour. Join me for this limited amount of exclusive members. And thanks for listening to Around the House.